For a couple of days, we heard about heavy fights between Ukraine soldiers and rebels. Now there will be a ceasefire from today on. But how's the situation for the civilian population right now?
Right. We've been following the situation in eastern Ukraine for quite some time now, since the conflict began. And of course, the human rights group, our main focus has been on civilians and the harm to civilians during these ongoing hostilities. In our last report that we've just released, we talk about violations of on part of the insurgent forces in eastern Ukraine that control large chunks of territory there in the Donetsk and Lugansk regions. In particular, we're talking about violations pertaining to detaining civilians on various allegations of, you know, them committing minor offenses and then subjecting them to forced labor. That's a major abuse. Those people are also often beaten and sometimes are forced to work on checkpoints of the insurgents very close to front lines. So they are subjected to real danger from the ongoing hostilities. Apart from that, we've documented other violations committed by insurgents, which included attacks on civilians and kidnapping of civilians that the insurgents thought were supporting Kiev or suspected were supporting Kiev. And horrendous beatings and sometimes treatments that rise to the level of torture.
So how do you gather all these informations? Do you have people in the area?
Absolutely. We have a team of people that is more or less, you know, travels to the region, you know, very frequently. I'm a researcher on Ukraine. I cover Ukraine for Human Rights Watch, so I go to the region several times a month. And in fact, I was just in the Donetsk region last month, and I'm planning to go there very soon. But we do have a team of people working, and we're in constant contact with people on the ground as well, journalists on the ground.
You already told us that the rebels put people to forced them to labor. But what exactly are they forced to? What is their work?
So we found that the so-called punishment brigades are forced to carry out various manual tasks. And they include, you know, filling sandbags at checkpoints, clearing brush or digging trenches or working as kitchen aid sometimes. So it's quite a widespread phenomenon in the region, apparently. And also, you know, insurgents threaten to execute those who refuse to cooperate. And the people who are forced to work are accused of, you know, doing things like, you know, carrying an open beer bottle on the street or violating curfew. So quite minor offenses that, of course, there have been no court decision about them committing those offenses. But nevertheless, this is what is going on.
So from your point of view, what is the reason for these actions of the rebels? Why are they forcing the people to such labor?
Well, there are a number of reasons. I think one of the main, very obvious reasons is that the rebels appear to be using sort of, you know, public order, a need to reinforce public order as a pretext to obtain unpaid labor because, you know, clearly those people do not get compensated for their work. And the second reason, in my opinion, is to, you know, keep a certain level of intimidation going and, you know, reinforce their authority and show that they are the, you know, they have the power, they are the law in the region.
At the moment, it appears that there will be a ceasefire from today on in the region around Donbas. But do you think all the fighters in the area will follow such a peace plan?
Look, it's obviously a major concern for everyone at the moment. It's not the first ceasefire that has been announced, and, you know, it has been broken in the past. So we, you know, hope that this ceasefire will actually be followed by both sides of the conflict, by all sides of the conflict. And, you know, the civilians that continue to suffer and continue to be killed during the ongoing hostilities should not be happening. So we can only hope that this will be followed and adhered to by all sides of the conflict. But it will see, because all day today, as there were preparations for these talks and as the talks were ongoing in Minsk, there was also very heavy fighting going on in the south of the region near the city of Mariupol. And there were some unconfirmed reports about the insurgents actually entering Mariupol, which is currently controlled by the Ukrainian forces. At this moment, there seems to be no signs of fighting ceasing, but we're hoping that it's actually going to take effect and all sides will adhere to it.
So Russia was not taking part in the talks today. It still says that it's not involved in the fighting, but for a long-term peace, is there any possibility to do it without Russia, without their permission?
Russia very clearly, and it's obvious to everyone that Russia has a lot of influence on what's going on in eastern Ukraine, and there's growing proof that it has a very active role to play in this conflict, including through military on the ground in Ukraine. So nobody can deny Russia's influence, Russia's role in this, and we call on Russia, continue to call on Russian authorities to use the influence that they have with the militants in eastern Ukraine to stop the bloodshed and to stop this conflict.
Thanks for being on our show.
Thank you very much.